The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Happy Wednesday, everyone, here on the Brad Sesmatt Show on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Devin Henry, and we will actually have the big man himself, Brad Sesmatt, the boss man, we'll call on in a little bit later in the show, but for now, you are stuck with me, Devin Henry. And we have plenty to talk about per the usual, but something that I'm really looking forward to. In today's episode, we will be sitting down with the now back in Arizona for the Arizona Cardinals, going to be in the quarterback room. Brett Hundley will join the show, the former UCLA quarterback, and he played his high school ball here. So, of course, he's going to sit down with Brad, talk about his transition from Arizona, California, out in Green Bay, and filled in for Aaron Rodgers for a little bit a couple years ago. Now back here in Arizona, of course, and he will actually be behind, we think, at the very least. He could be behind Josh Rosen, who was behind him at UCLA. So a great conversation coming up there with Brett Hundley, Arizona Cardinals quarterback. Then along with that, we are also going to be talking plenty of baseball because of opening day last week. And, you know, this is a very beautiful time of year for sports fans. And, you know, it was very interesting this year because for the first time in over a decade, almost two decades, quite frankly, we had all four major sports last weekend happening at the exact same time. End of NBA, end of hockey, start of baseball, and then nearing the end of the AAF season, the Alliance of American Football. So we had all four major sports together. Plus, we also had the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament. So if you love sports this weekend, I hope that you were just on the couch. A great weekend for sports fans. But the news came out that it seems like the AAF is shutting down all operations. We talked to Brad Sesmatt about that, someone who has been working with the Arizona Hotshots as a play-by-play the past couple of weeks, filling in for the great Jeff Munn. So we'll talk to him about that as well. Plenty more coming up on the show. Your rundown is brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor, protect what matters most. Guys, go ahead, do that with life insurance. And, you know, we don't all have it figured out sometimes. Just give them a call. See what you're missing, what you need to figure out for your future and your family's future. Go ahead and head to Sagicor and give our friends a call. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Let's jump right in, guys. And I think that the big story, since opening day is already, you know, for the most part, is coming fast, I want to talk baseball. But let's talk Arizona State baseball and their messy win this past Sunday against the U of A Wildcats. Yes, they swept the series, and now ASU has swept Arizona in football, basketball, and now baseball as well. So good for them and whatnot. And after a very messy win, they gave up 16 runs. They would win with 17 runs. They had a big game today, last night. Man, I'm messing my days all up right now. But nonetheless, last night, they took on Long Beach State. Now, this is not, you know, your traditional Power 5 school or anything, but this is a baseball school. And they went out and they just blew Arizona State out of the water, 14-9. ASU's first loss at home. They're 22-1 now at Phoenix Muni. And now we are to that part where, about a month ago, I told you guys, this is where I'm going to really keep an eye out for. The Territorial Cup is over. And then they had their Long Beach State game, and now it's three games at USC. Then at UNLV, one of their longest road trips of the entire season. Home against Oregon State, single game against Seattle. Road against Utah, back against UNLV. At Washington, UCLA. So this is where, I mean, it's basically the end of the line for there might be a gimme game here or there in a sport where anyone can win on any day. And now that you are this many games into the season, 27 through here and 9 through the Pac-12, that ASU more than likely just showed everyone their card. Here's what I mean by that. When you win a game 17-16, or if you were, say, to lose that game, you lose a lot of your pitching staff. And that was the major concern last year for Arizona State. It didn't really seem like it mattered who went on out on top of the rubber. I was always a little bit concerned if they could get the job done. Now you end up having Montoya, Corrigan, Brady Corrigan, and some of these other Arizona State pitchers who, quite frankly, have been pitching the lights out so far this year. Then, after you basically use every single one of your pitchers here against Arizona, you have a game only 2 days later, about 48 to 55 hours later, and you have to take on a really good baseball team in Long Beach State. And your pitching staff and the bullpen has been demolished from this past weekend in what's arguably a more important game this year. I mean, come on, it's the Territorial Cup, and then it's Long Beach State. But nonetheless, you want to go out and try to win every game that you can. Arizona State baseball, I think even after this loss, is still going to be ranked in the top 10 in the majority of college baseball polls, which I think is beyond phenomenal for Arizona State. So when you go out and you use up your bullpen, and then you come out only a couple days later, you're going to have a hard time. It doesn't matter what team you are. And you know what? Maybe that's something that USC takes into consideration. You know, we don't need to win the first game. We just need to use up their bullpen. If we can use up the Arizona State bullpen, that's how you beat this team. Because while the pitching has become so much more consistent than it has in past years, there's still a point where the pitching staff becomes shallow. And we found that point here as we watched ASU play Long Beach State. So a 14-9 loss last night could lead to USC figuring out, hey, there is definitely a chunk of this armor pulled out of Arizona State. How can we utilize that with them in our house now? So, at the very least, baseball is a sport where any team can win on any given day. USC is aware of that, playing one of the best teams in the nation currently, that being Arizona State. If you sweep Arizona State, maybe you're in that postseason tournament talk. I mean, we're still a very long way from that, mind you. Mind myself, I should say. But nonetheless, here's a point where can you take down Arizona State in this way? And can Coach Tracy Smith figure out a way to, when you see a game like this happening, and once again, they're probably not going to be in the situation where they're trying to use up their entire bullpen to beat a team such as the University of Arizona. But if you do come to that scenario, what do you do this time? And I think Coach Smith is smart enough to realize we need a plan for when that happens to try to go out and beat a team like Long Beach State, you know, even if it was the next day instead of 2 days later. So, chip in the arm of Arizona State. Remember, guys, they are still 25-2. This team still on fire so far. We'll see how they do after this USC series and then a midweek game against UNLV next week. Looking at what they've done so far for Arizona State, Chaz Montoya, Brady Corrigan, Boyd Vanderkooy has been phenomenal. So really excited to see where this team moves on. Now, we just talked a little bit about pitching. I want to talk about pitching with the Arizona Diamondbacks now, because if there's anything that I love more than dubs in the sport of baseball, it's pitchers who rake. And Zach Greinke, are you kidding me? 2 home runs last night? Now, this is a guy who, coming into the game, has spent, you know, almost a decade playing baseball in the majors, give or take. He's pretty close. But he'd only hit 6 home runs in his entire career up to that point. 2 home runs last night against the Padres. 10 strikeouts as well, which is a huge high for him. I mean, this is his first home run since 2015. So, I mean, when you're going out, I mean, guys, people think that there should be a universal DH. I just saw Zach Greinke hit 2 home runs. And I mean, I think that this brings up a great conversation about the celebration of the silent treatment, because that was a big moment. Zach Greinke hitting a home run is kind of a big deal, because your pitcher isn't supposed to hit a home run, especially someone like Zach Greinke, who's only hit 6 in his career. Now, I think that the silent treatment is funny, which is what the D-backs gave him when he went back into the dugout. But I feel like the hype wasn't there when they finally started celebrating, you know? So I don't know. I don't know enough about celebrations in baseball. I do know that softball gets a lot more hype, though. But when you look at the expectations for this team moving forward now, because they are 3-3, they are second in the NL West, guys. Look at that. No, it's so early this season. This team has a lot of potential, but, you know, you go back 2 years. No more Paul Goldschmidt. No more J.D. Martinez. You lost Jake Lamb. And then, of course, there's that pitching staff, which is almost half new from 2 years ago. So David Peralta has stepped up 13 hits this year. Ketel Marte has been someone else who's been doing well in these first 6 games. Nick Ahmed, the shortstop, someone who I've been looking forward to seeing if he can deliver this year. Then Walker, he has 6 RBIs this year. So it's really a matter of early in the season, who is going to be stepping up to fill in the void that's going to be left these past 2 years? Because I know just losing Jake Lamb and Paul Goldschmidt. That's something that you can bounce back on. But my biggest question for this team is, what should the expectations be? Because this is a team that's not going to make the postseason, I don't think. You're in the exact same division as the Dodgers, and people are picking the Padres to maybe be a wild card team this year and maybe even make it past the wild card round. You know, you probably beat the Giants, but that's about it. So we talked to Pedro Gomez last week on the Brad Sessmatt Show on Thursday. Brad talked to him, and he brought up a good point that this is going to be a very difficult start of the year for the Arizona Diamondbacks. You start off the year playing the Dodgers for four games, and in that series you end up going 1-3. Then, yeah, you go out, beat the Padres twice. They play again here in a couple hours. Then a three-game series is your home opener against the Red Sox, and that's just a very tough team to beat before you also play at home against the Rangers, then four games against the Padres, who are supposed to be great this year. They'll hit the road against the Cubbies a couple of series later. I mean, the start of the year for the D-backs is going to be extremely difficult so far that we've even seen. 3-3 this year. Where do you get out of these first three series against the Dodgers, the Padres, and then the Red Sox? So the expectations, I still think, are mid-level. It's a mid-level team right now when it comes to the NL West or the NL in general. So we're going to have to wait and see who else steps up on this team, because that was something, you know, I expect David Peralta to be the hitter on this team now. I expect Ketel Marte to have to step up and take a role in the batting order. That's what I expect. So, and it's too early to say that, you know, Nick Ahmed or a few of these other players are going to be athletes. I think I'm saying Jake Lamb. I meant A.J. Pollock. A.J. Pollock left, not Jake Lamb. I was thinking Jake Lamb. A.J. Pollock is the other bat who left, so apologies. I think I said Jake Lamb. But no, I swear I sometimes know what I'm talking about. But who's going to step up? That's my biggest concern with the Arizona Diamondbacks moving forward. On the other side of the break here, we're going to have Brad Sessmatt, the big boss man himself. We're going to go on the outside a little bit, talking some lesser-known sports, maybe some headlines that you don't quite know here. Coming up next year on the Brad Sessmatt Show, I'm Devin Henry. So, guys, if you're a fan of sports, I hope that you were on your couch for most of the weekend, because this is the first time in, two decades or so now that we have had, essentially, all four major sports happening over the weekend. End of the NBA season, end of the NHL season, start of the MLB season, then the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, had some games as well. So the four major sports were essentially all on TV this weekend. And so with all that, I do want to tangent a little bit here in this segment as we talk to the big boss man himself, Brad Sessmatt, on the phone with us. And Brad, you know, you're usually talking us, you know, our four major sports. Then, of course, we had the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 this past weekend as well. So I want to go somewhere else with this. Probably the big news that came out yesterday was the folding, supposedly. I mean, nothing is beyond official, as the league hasn't even released a statement yet, of the Alliance of American Football. So there's quite a bit of hoopla going on, and who's at fault, what the money means, and then some other stuff that I don't think is going to come out for a very long time due to what's in contracts. But you put out a piece on our website, sports360az.com, and for those of you who don't know, it was going to be interesting if the AAF did last another year, because then the XFL, yeah, that old thing from 2001 would pop up with Vince McMahon. So what Vince McMahon has said and what Forbes has released is that they are spending $500 million funded by McMahon to fund the XFL. And Brad, your thought is maybe this means the Hotshots join up with the XFL? I mean, this seems like a long shot, obviously, because there's a reason why they set so many teams up, you know, together for a league. But what is your thoughts on the possibility of the Hotshots sticking around? Because in my opinion, I was enjoying the brand of football. I was enjoying the product on the field, and I was enjoying the fact that there was spring football in the state of Arizona.
Well, make sure I'm beyond, Devin. I think my view of the league comes from a lens of the last couple of weeks I've done the play-by-play of the team, filling in for Jeff Munn. Jeff had some NCAA women's commitments. So they asked me if I'd be interested. Sure. So being out of practice, being around the organization, obviously Sports 360 AZ, we've done content on them in the past. We had a sponsorship agreement with them early in the season. And so from many, many sides, I've seen the league, and I want what's best for Phoenix. You know, the you mentioned the four majors. I'd throw the fifth major in there, and that was soccer over the weekend. Phoenix Rising was a play, too, on television. And so the more that we have here in Phoenix, the better I believe it is. If you're not a fan of football, then you will kill this. If you are a spring training is where it's at, there should be nothing else in the way because I'm a traditionalist, and that's the way it's always been, then you're probably thrilled. If you're one of those people that's miserable in your existence, then you're probably thrilled that a bunch of guys lost their jobs. I get it. My thought on this spin is, and it's not just me firing from the hip, I talked to some people within the league that made the suggestion that, you know, Vince McMahon's over here doing his thing. I took a deeper dive and said, does Vince McMahon in the XFL, how's the XFL work next January when they kick off playing games in Washington, D.C. in the dead of winter? I don't think it does. How does it work in January in Los Angeles? I don't think it does. So you look at the two leagues. I was in San Antonio doing the hotshot game this past Sunday night. There were close to 30,000 fans in there in a spring league. The level of competition was good. The fans in the parking lot tailgated. The players on the field, some of them were getting looked at by the NFL, and some of them will continue playing at the next level. If you're just a fan of Sunday afternoon in the fall and turning on your TV and watching guys play football, maybe you don't notice that the quality of football gets really poor on many teams as the season progresses because the workforce simply isn't deep enough. Devin, the average lifespan of an NFL player on the field is 2.7 years. So they're grinding through players right and left. This league, much like the Arizona Fall League in baseball, much like minor league hockey, much like AAA baseball, this league had a place. This league didn't have a place from the NFL's point of view when all they need to do is have college football develop their players. The problem with that is when a player gets hurt or he gets released at the end of August before the NFL season starts, what happens to that player in the pursuit of his dream? Does he have anywhere to go get coached up? Does he have anywhere to go get better rather than the corner LA Fitness? The answer for the most part is no. That's where this league came and comes into play. So take the marketing dollars of Vince McMahon, combine them with the AAF, which had very good coaches, well-intentioned, deep-rooted coaches, Rick Neuheisel, Mike Riley, Steve Spurrier. Those are names within coaching circles that, okay, these guys are going to make our young players or injured players better. Take those resources, combine them with the XFL, find a partnership. The AAF had games already distributed on the NFL Network where people could see them. And for those that hated this league, guess what? Those games on the NFL Network got ratings. So there was something there. I think there was careless spending. I think there was not a well-thought-out marketing plan. I think that if you look at it top to bottom, rather than just sit there from 35,000 feet behind a microphone as some guys are, you know, behind a newspaper, behind a keyboard, and just say, yeah, this league stinks, get it out of here. If you look at it top to bottom, there was something there. Can it be the hot shots? I don't know if it'll be the hot shots. Maybe it's a different name. Can Phoenix support a team? They only drew about 9,500 per game. Why was that? There's no marketing dollars here in a very busy climate. No way to go to the Chicago Cubs and say, hey, when you play your day game at 1 in the afternoon after the Cubs game is over, come over to the Hot Shots, whatever name it is, and you'll get 50% off a ticket to come in to watch football that night. They couldn't do any of that. Go to NASCAR. You love NASCAR. You're familiar with NASCAR. Go to a Hot Shots game, take your NASCAR ticket, and get 50% off to go to the spring race at ISM. They had no resources to do those sorts of creative partnerships, and it killed them.
And now, I said that the product on the field, it wasn't bad, and I was ready to come in today. I was starting to research on Monday because I knew I was hosting the show on Wednesday, and I was about to go about why the AAF is going to last, because we're in week 8, playoffs are coming here in a couple of weeks, they were at least, and my biggest argument was the fact that the NFL is indirectly invested in the AAF by the fact that NFL Network was carrying games, for crying out loud. The NFL Network was carrying games and putting commercials on those games for their own revenue. And then if this AAF program ends up building up athletes, then they end up going to the NFL. And, I mean, that's less work for the NFL. You have athletes who are ready because they played spring ball, playing real football, and they have real film now besides their college film from, what, 5 years ago? And you don't need to go to the Canadian Football League for that anymore. So it was going to directly benefit the NFL. And the first time that I saw this come out, I initially thought, if a group like this can't exist for more than a year, how is any group at all going to exist? Now, there is some, I don't know, it seems strange to me what's going on the inside. And it wasn't a pure reason of funding as to why the AAF is shutting down. But when you come up with the XFL, like you mentioned, the cities are kind of in strange places to be holding spring football, because in some of those places, even in April, it's still almost winter, for crying out loud.
Sure.
But the issue to me is the logistics of, supposedly Forbes says that McMahon has this settled out for the next 3 years, the $500 million that is. So if you were to add on more teams, because they had eight just like the AAF did, would you be able to juggle that up? Because I think Phoenix would be a great market for the XFL because they don't have a team in Vegas this time around. So I don't know. There's just a lot going on there. I do want to move over to something real quick before we're out of time.
Let me jump in one more thing.
Jump in.
So it's just this quick thought. The NFL Players Association could not come to an agreement with the AAF. So if you're Devin Henry and you're playing running back in the AAF, you're coming off an ACL injury that you suffered in the NFL. You go to the AAF and you play a game, you get some tape, it shows your ACL is fine, you're clean. Mm-hmm. You get re-signed, the AAF releases your rights. That's how this was supposed to work.
Yes.
Back when the league first started. Well, the NFLPA never released their own players because the NFLPA said, well, what if Devin Henry goes out for that one game and re-tears his ACL? We don't want to be held responsible financially for the insurance on this guy. That was one of the drawbacks between the NFL Players Association and the AAF. Bottom line is the NFLPA didn't find a way to cover their backsides in case a player got taken out in an AAF game. I think it's an important point to put out there.
And I think it would have been really interesting if this league would have continued going. You know, where do those discussions end up leading to, especially if the AAF quality goes up? Because let's be honest, we've never really seen a football league that's not the NFL last more than a year. So if a league does do that, where do the conversations go with the NFL? And that's something that I was thinking we would at least be looking forward to, say this summer, say this fall. But here we are now. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the contract, the logistics, the wording of the contracts and whatnot, but do you know if there might be any way where this thing gets off the ground maybe again?
So, you know, the business operations side, from my understanding, the Hotshots are having a business side meeting this morning, and I think most employees are expecting to be told to clean out your desks. You're done. Today is your last day. Unless somebody comes in with the Hail Mary at the last second, which in the world of sports, I talked to a couple of sports business guys this morning here in Phoenix and said, yeah, we got approached a couple of weeks ago about possibly buying the Hotshots and having local ownership in each city. It never went anywhere. So there's people behind the scenes, Devin, just to put a bow on the subject. There's people behind the scenes that are, I think, are well-intentioned. I think there's also business opportunities around this league. If I were in a position to go invest in a spring league football franchise, I would look seriously at what the AAF was trying to accomplish because I do think there's something there.
So I do want to move to golf real quick because I saw you post this. It was on April Fool's Day, but I don't think it's a joke. No. Over in Scottsdale, Troon announced that they had acquired OB Sports Golf Management. And you mentioned on Twitter that this is big news on the business front of sports in Arizona. So what does this mean here? Because when you look at golf in Arizona, yeah, you have the Waste Management Phoenix Open, and then the rest of the time it's just people from up north coming down and playing golf in great weather. So what is this?
Sure. So on a business side, the PGA Tour has been trying to figure out ways to have better television ratings and better, bigger events on their calendar. The PGA Championships, they just moved up to May this year. May is a ratings month. TV drives all. So what do you know? One of the majors is being shown in May. The PGA Championship, which usually in August doesn't get near the number because it's summer vacation. OB Sports manages golf courses here locally. Troon does as well, but Troon is a national brand. OB had national reach, but they're based in Scottsdale. I think, Devin, the more power that we have here in Phoenix from a marketing standpoint around any sport, I'm not going to rule out the Ryder Cup being played at TPC Scottsdale. I'm not. Imagine the United States against the Europeans. It's a Sunday afternoon. The two sides are tied, and it comes down to the 16th, 17th, 18th holes at TPC Scottsdale. That's not a pipe dream by Brad on a Wednesday morning. That's been discussed in the business community here in Phoenix, that could we host a Ryder Cup? I don't know. How have we done hosting the Waste Management Open through the years? When I say we, golf management folks like Troon, like OB, that have grown and grown, it's good for the game. Let's get some majors here. We are going to have the NCAA championships on both the men's and women's side starting in 2020 for the next 3 years in Phoenix. And so when you have the synergy on the college side, you need some bigger people on the professional side. And that move by OB to Troon may be nothing to the average consumer out there. They may all they may care about is Zion Williamson being in a Suns uniform or who the Cardinals are going to take at number one. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Zach Greinke can hit two more home runs today or the next time he pitches. All that's fine. I tend to look at things through the lens of what is best for our community. Because one day I'll be on the wrong side of the grass. I'll be worm food. We all are heading that direction last time I checked. So can we make a difference, or can we be encouragers? Can we develop business relationships while we're here that our kids and our kids' kids can have things to enjoy? I would think it'd be really cool to have a Ryder Cup here. The more power we have in marketing, the more connections that we have between OB and Troon, big, big news. Not on the front end today. This is one of those you just look at and you tilt your head and you know there's already been discussion about the PGA Championship coming here. Didn't this year. You know there's been conversation about Ryder Cup coming here. That's still ongoing. This is another step.
Lots going on in the world of sports in Arizona beyond the Major Four. Rising.
Yep.
Possibility of spring football. PGA. NASCAR Championship coming in 2020. So Major Four.
Yep.
Next four that can change a lot of the landscape of Arizona, and not to mention, of course, you know, Super Bowls, Final Fours, stuff like that in the next couple of years, whatever. So, yeah, plenty going on in the world of sports. I wanted to kind of get that broader perspective there, and Brad will be back in tomorrow. He'll talk some more about, you know, everything in the state of Arizona, and also go to sports360az.com to read up more on what we have on the website. Brad has had some great stuff out there, not just on the hot shots, of course, but also what are the Suns going to do? What will the Cardinals do? So on so forth, if you're into that kind of stuff too. Coming up next, Brad will magically now appear back in studio from the telephone wire to talk to new Arizona Cardinals quarterback. No, I'm not saying Kyler Murray. Brett Hundley is going to be in studio. Yeah, the guy who played high school ball here is back here in studio. He'll talk to Brad after the break. This is the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports 360 AZ. I'm Devin Henry.
So there's many cool things about doing this gig, I call it, through 30-plus years, and it's the relationships of people that you come across and you hear a name like Brett Hundley, for instance. So I heard Brett's name when he was a dumpy little eighth grader. And I think it's creepy to go out and chase eighth grade stories. So I start to visit with Brett when he is a sophomore in high school. And now you're on the back end of your NFL career in all likelihood, unless you're Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
You're in the middle of your career in Arizona. You are back home. Mm-hmm. You've come full circle. And it's great to have you in studio, first of all.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Sure. Two, I know everybody's asked you about being a Cardinal and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
What is the coolest part about being back in Phoenix? Off field, on the field, whatever.
You know, the crazy part of it is like the full, like how it's come full circle. You know, like running the streets with my pops in high school, talking to you, like when I used to say and, you know, and all the time.
You know.
Every time. You guys don't know that. I mean, every time. He used to make me read a newspaper in the mirror to myself so I wouldn't say and or but it helped, honestly.
And it still happens.
Yeah.
And I do it.
It does.
You know?
But the full full circle it's come to do that, go to UCLA, leave. You know, I've been back in Arizona for years, and then go to Green Bay, be there for 3 years, then to Seattle, and then have the opportunity to come back home. And I think the cool thing about being back home is the support system that you have here, that I have here, just from the people I know, the relationships, but also my family being here, you know, going into year five for me in the league, that's a long time. You know, again, if you're Tom Brady, like, that's a really long time. But 5 years is a very long time in this short league. So for me to be on year five coming back home is just an awesome opportunity.
What have you learned about yourself through the journey?
Whew, man. I think the best part about football, one of the best parts, is it's very eye-opening. You know, I guess at first, everything is like top of the world, you know, getting recruited, going to the league, getting drafted. But everybody has it. There's those moments where it falls. And you realize, like, and we were just talking about this, you realize that sometimes you have to, like, for me, I had to detach who I was and who football was, you know, who I was mm-hmm. in the football aspect.
Football's something I do. It's not who I am.
I am. And most players, unfortunately, won't get that until after football is completely over. For me, I had to, you know, it was after the year in Green Bay, my last year, I had to really figure out who I was outside of football. And to be able to do that actually helped me in football because now I'm not worried about everybody else. I'm not worried about what people say. I'm just going out there and playing football, doing the best I can. But a lot of people attach their identity to football. So when they have those ups, they feel on top of the world. But when they have the downs, they're down.
And you didn't really have many downs until that year when you did get on the field.
Yeah. And that was just going through those ups, you know, playing the Steelers. And even though we lost, you know, throwing three touchdowns, having a great game, then playing the Ravens and having a really bad, you know, it's like those ups and downs, the ebb and the flow of the season when you're actually a starter, being able to figure out, like, and that's where experience comes. So it helped me so much, like, so much, to be able to now, like, figure out how to stay constant, even in the ups. Like, I think one of the hardest parts about football and anything in life that really puts you in a spotlight mm-hmm. is managing success. It's something that McCarthy used to talk about all the time. Like, when you're down, like, you can only go up from there. When you're up, you know, you can go down, but at the same time, being able to manage while being up and staying consistent through that, not getting, you know, relaxed in that state.
Sure.
I think is one of the hardest things in a sport to do. So when you have consistent success, that's when you know you're doing something right.
Why do you think Arizona? What was it? You've got a connection on this coaching staff from Green Bay,
yes.
which helped.
Yes.
And you can talk about that if you'd like.
Yeah, yeah.
You also were in demand, I mm-hmm. think. It wasn't just you had one option only. Yeah. So why was it Arizona?
I had a good amount of teams talking, and, you know, it was actually funny because the way it all came about, we were sort of talking numbers with a bunch of different teams, and, you know, obviously whichever team won out. But Clemens I know very well. Tom Clemens and David Rye, and they were – I mean, those were some of my favorite coaches at Green Bay. So then for them to be here back home, you know, on the Cardinals, that made things a little bit sweeter, I ain't gonna lie. And then the cherry on top, really, was knowing that Kingsbury's offense is coming here. And that's an offense that I've played in. You know, I've played in college, you know. And then also on top of that, to not only have that offense, to be able to utilize everything I do, which I bring to the field, whether it be running or throwing, but now having the experience being in, you know, a pro style like Green Bay, how, I mean, the playbook is like this big. Like, everything you learn about being a quarterback as far as, like, mentally, Green Bay would teach you. And then going to Seattle and learning that playbook and learning sort of more in-depth about how to prepare and stuff like that, especially with Russ, who's an awesome guy, you know, professional and just really teaches. That was one great thing he was good at, is preparing, sort of studying, everything like that.
Right.
Putting them together and then coming here with this offense, like, It sort of was a no-brainer for me. So I was like, all right, well, this is where I want to be now.
If you were to talk to the 18-year-old Brett Hundley.
Man. You know what's crazy?
Yeah.
The difference of 18 to 25. 7 years, like, in the span of a life, it's not that much.
Yeah.
But in the span of like maturity and who you are, who you figure out your who you, you know as a man you are outside of football, you know, I feel like those years are like really really critical in figuring some things out in life. And it's unbelievable, that difference of like 18, where honestly I probably had no idea. I was just playing football, like just going with.
You were balling though, because let's just be honest.
Yeah.
You were a great, great high school quarterback, one of the best in the history of Arizona.
Yes.
You decide to go to UCLA. You do very, very well at UCLA.
Yeah.
You go to Green Bay. Oh my gosh, I'm going to Green Bay.
Yeah.
But the 18-year-old Brett, from my view, from my view, you always had the confidence and the swagger.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
I look at you now and just from afar and see some of the things that you're doing. It's you're actually more like a 30-year-old because you're thinking ahead.
Yes, 100%.
Which most players don't do.
Yeah.
Most players are like, I'm just going to do this forever and I'll just figure it out when I'm done. You're already starting to look ahead as to what's next. Not that you're not focused on football
but, it's,
but that's the change I see in you.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. And that's something you learn, you know, as you go about it. And like I said, in that 7-year window, to really, you know, focus on who I was outside of football really was a blessing for me, because now whenever that road comes, I'm not going to be like standing there figuring out who I am and what I'm trying to do after football, which a lot of athletes get into. But even at 18, I felt like, you know, I would like to say I had some swag and some, you know, and some confidence, especially just playing football and just
other than you could never beat Hamilton, but everything else was.
I knew that was coming up. All right.
I mean,
let's cut that out.
Okay, so, but let's get into what is life after football look like. I know Cardinal fans are like, Brad, I want to know what he thinks about Josh Rosen and the number one overall pick, which you've been asked about 100 times.
A million times.
And you're not going to say what is going to happen because you don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah.
So I do think it's fair to ask you, what do you think Josh is going through?
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. And then I want to get to the post. So what is Josh going through?
To each his own. It's hard for me to speak on somebody else, but at the same time, like, Josh is one of my great friends.
Yes.
Just going to UCLA, knowing him. I mean, we've talked when he was coming out for the draft, before he was getting drafted, playing for the Cardinals. We've always stayed in contact. And we honestly, when I first signed, he was probably one of the first three people I reached out to.
He didn't know that you were coming?
No, not until I texted him.
Not was done.
Yeah, not until it was done. And he was one of the first people I text. And, just to have that relationship with him is an awesome opportunity. I feel like, obviously, no quarterback wants to be in a situation where, you know, they could possibly pick somebody else. The NFL, again, is not for long. And you always want to be in a position where, you know, at least there's some form of job security, but in the NFL there isn't, you know, realistically speaking.
But you picked coming here knowing that this could be.
Yeah.
You knew the draft order.
Yeah, 100%.
You knew what was going
down.
Those
are things you think about, but at the same time, like, my thought is just knowing the offense, knowing what I can bring to this team, and knowing the experience I have and, like, again, the offense, and just being able to bring that to this team and have an opportunity to compete is my biggest thing. You know, I've been behind Aaron. I've been behind Russ. And I'm competing. I don't care. I'm trying to play. Like, I was trying to start in Green Bay. I was trying to start in Seattle.
Sure.
But those are two Hall of Fame quarterbacks that, you know, unless they go down, they're going to be the starters. Here, you know, Josh is here. He's top 10 pick, unbelievable quarterback. But just to have the opportunity to come in and, again, try to compete, like, that's what I'm here to do. And I will always do that, no matter who's the quarterback.
Okay, so then let's go through this after football part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do this, it sounds like, a little bit, or maybe behind the camera a little bit more. What are you thinking?
So for me, I feel like I have I naturally do this, and it's fun, but I think I want to be, like, I couldn't sit here all day. If we were doing something outside, like an activity or something like that, I could do that all day. And something, you know, fun, entertaining.
What is this, then? I mean, come on.
This is, like,
you're
indoors.
Fun, you're entertaining.
I mean, I like to sell the personality, honestly, but...
Go for it.
But, like, you could, honestly, like, if we did this driving to the Grand Canyon to go see the Grand Canyon or something like that, that would be my type of interview. Like, that is...
That's what I have to do, is do one of those 100%. Cameras in the car deal?
Yep, 100%.
Come on.
But people, like, that's what I love doing. Like, hey, going to the Grand Canyon, seeing the Grand Canyon, have an interview, like, you know, riding a donkey up the Grand Canyon. That's fun to me.
Careful.
Like, I know.
You know, I might do that.
I promise you I'll be there if you do. you won't have to pay me no gas money. No, not, I will be there. But, like, that's what I like. And I also get into, you know, like, my passions, my three passions. My mom was a flight attendant. My dad was into healthcare, but, like, he was a big cook in our family. So traveling and food. And then I got into photography myself. Those are my three passions outside of football. So, like, everybody, if you follow me on Instagram, BrettHuntley7, you'll nice. See, like, you'll see, I know I sort of threw that in, you'll see that, like, that is what I put out there. Like, there's football, but then on the flip side of it, like, I mean, I just got back from a huge traveling excursion. Like,
where'd you go?
I went everywhere, man. I started in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, then I went to Bogota, Colombia, and Cartagena, and then I went to, from there to Germany. We went all throughout Germany, and then from Germany to Austria. And then from Austria to Switzerland.
Are you like Fitz now? Is that where you're?
Man, I've been doing that. Last year I was in Peru. I was like, I travel so much.
Yeah.
And like then from Switzerland, I went to Belgrade, Serbia. And then from Belgrade, Serbia to Paris, France. And then I was going to keep going.
Are you on your own doing this or do you take someone with you?
Some of it I wasn't. Some of it I was. Like mm-hmm. in Brazil, I was on my own. Colombia, I was with friends. Germany, I was with friends. Switzerland, with friends.
Clearing your head or just taking the experience in?
It's just my passion. Okay. Yeah, it's just what I love to do. So if I'm by myself, like in Paris, France, it's like I go out there, then I meet locals and just random people, travelers, mm-hmm. and like I'll just kick it with them and just figure out the town. Like
most random place you've been recognized worldwide?
Probably Belgrade, Serbia.
Someone comes up to you or you get the feel someone's looking at you and whispering?
No, somebody came up and I'm like,
Serbia.
Belgrade, Serbia. Like, out of all places that I would ever think to get recognized, Belgrade, Serbia was probably last on my list.
And were they a Packer fan and say, you there's a lot against of the Ravens, yeah. fantasy team?
See, no, I haven't got a lot of that because if they do, I'll be like, you know what, hey.
Yeah,
like,
come on.
Yeah, come on. Like, look at the other games. but, you know, it's just like getting recognized out there, like, it's really, I mean, it's like, wow, holy, you know, like, I'm walking, trying to get a pizza, and I hear, like, Brett Hundley, like, oh, and I'm like, what the?
It's not Aaron Rodgers, it's not Russell Wilson, but you're still in that space.
And it's crazy to me, because
you're just a guy.
So, like, that's the thing, yeah. Like, to us, it's like, all right, we're just random people, like, walking around, but, like, to the outside world, it's like, you know, sometimes you get idolized, and to us, it's like, man, we just like y'all, like, you know, it's like, we're just like, you'll catch me at Fry's shopping and picking, you know.
What are you doing here? I'm buying broccoli. What are you doing here?
I remember when I was starting for Green Bay and, like, some random fan asked me, like, what are you doing at Walmart? I'm like, well, this is, like, where I go get
stuff. I need to get socks and underwear and some cantaloupe.
Yeah, you know, like, just random, like, this is where I shop at. Like, you know, so it's like we don't shop at nowhere fancy just because we're starting quarter. Like, we shop at Walmart.
When you're Brett Hundley and you're sitting at dinner and the check arrives.
Oh.
Yeah? How is that?
The check for dinner?
Everybody expects you to pick it up.
Oh, most of the time, but I don't.
And how does that go for you?
I'm very straightforward with people as far as, like, the money aspect. Like, you may think, I mean, we make enough money. We make a great enough money. But I personally don't want to be the one paying for everything. You know, even if I want to still have the relationship where I'm not thinking, like, every time I go out, like, look, I got to pick up this check. I got to pick up this tab. Like, no.
Because I've seen that and heard that.
Oh, yeah.
That with celebrity, the check comes across and there's this
awkward. And everybody
awkward,
gets alligator arms, yeah.
Yeah, there's this awkward, it's $410. Brett will just pick it up versus do you say, hey, let's split this?
Oh, yeah. See, I'll make it really awkward. I'll be like, all right, everybody, like, let's take out your credit cards and let's throw them on the table. Like, because if you're gonna buy some steaks or something like that, like, you're going to pay for your steak. You know, I'm not going to be the one paying for it. But I'm really straightforward when it comes to that. Like, and I think that's the thing is, like, it's all about who you have in your circle, too.
Correct.
You know, and
you and I have talked about this way back in the day.
100%. So it's like figuring out who's who. And, like, it's so refreshing. Like, people don't realize how refreshing it is when, like, you go out to eat and somebody says, I'll pay for it. Like, the whole meal. And you're like, really? You know, and, like, it's so refreshing because most people, like we just talked about here, like, will just, like, look at it and then look at you like, I saw your contract. Like,
right. You know? You're driving that vehicle. Yeah. Shouldn't you be driving this vehicle? You live in that house. Shouldn't you be living in this house?
And it's,
all
it's,
that has
it's
unaffected
just,
you.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, I mean, it does. Like, honestly, people think that way. But, like, I will make it so awkward for people. I'll be like, look, like, we're going to split this. Or, like, I'll talk to them before we go out. I'll be like, hey, we can go here. You know, we'll split it 50-50. It don't matter. Or, like, you know, you just pay for yours. You take your check. I'll take mine. But, like, that is, I think, the hardest part for some people is learning how to say no, or, like, being, making things even, unfortunately, more uncomfortable because people expect you to do certain things, especially when you're making that kind of money. But I don't want you around if you're going to make me pay for everything, honestly.
Same with family members.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it goes everybody.
Can you pay my cell phone bill?
Yeah.
Pay, like, this? I've seen the athletes that have the 3, 4, 5 cell phones, and they're paying for the 3, 4, 5 Range Rovers.
It's crazy.
And they're paying for it when they're in their mid-30s saying, I have no idea what I'm going to do because I've lost all my money.
Exactly. And that's, like, 30 for 30 Broke was, like, one of the most eye-opening videos or, like, documentaries I've watched. Mm-hmm. Like, to know that 80%, I think it was higher than that, like, 90% of, like, players go bankrupt in the first 3 years they're out.
And divorce.
Yeah, like, it's unbelievable. So I'm like, look, like, I don't want to go nowhere close to that. And, like, my whole thing is, like, I'm going to save as much as I can because once football is done, like, you know, I'll have my house paid off. I'll have my car paid off. And that's, like, my first thing is, like, finding a house out here, paying it off. And then I have a car that I bought my first year in the league, still drive it. But, like, once those two things are paid off, then I can sort of, like, take a deep breath because it's like, okay, now I just got to worry about living expenses, like, you know, property taxes or food and my travels. But, like, other than that, once I get to that point, then I'll be a little bit more relaxed.
Are you a players union leader when you're done playing?
I thought about getting into it.
You did some of that at UCLA.
Yeah, I did. I did a good amount of that.
You
at
did
UCLA.
The leadership. What was it? NCAA leadership.
Yeah, the NCPA leadership. Or I forgot the name for it. But we pretty much argued on behalf of the players to get better stuff. Like, you know, I know now they're living great off of the work we did. I mean, the paychecks we were getting to be able to live in California. Like, I mean, we would be left with $200 to live for the month after rent. And it's like, ain't no way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'd have to scrap and just, like, stay on campus and try to eat food there, which wasn't, like, especially without how much money these campuses are making, you know, like, you should be able to get some better stuff in there.
So you want to do the photography stuff. You want to open your own YouTube. You want to travel. You want to do a travel show. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of passions in that area. What else?
Also the nonprofit I do. I think that's the first thing, first and foremost. For those who don't know my story, my sister was diagnosed with epilepsy when we were young. My nephew, her son, Elijah, actually has infantile spasm, which is a form of epilepsy and autism. So now I think one of my other huge passions is just giving back. And not only just with that, like, one of the things I want to start, which soon, because we started the Honey Hero Foundation, which is our nonprofit, and we use that, you know, with epilepsy, and then we're getting into the autistic realm and trying to give back there. But not only that, but, like, you travel, like, for me, the traveling I do, like, just coming from Brazil, walking through the favelas, like, doing a tour there, like, there's so many places to give back to. One, number one, being in our community. But number two, like, even whenever I travel and wherever I travel, like, those are, like, huge things that I really want to start doing and incorporating in my travels. So there's a lot of stuff like that that I really want to give back to. So that's one of the, like, passionate things as well that I want to do and, like, hopefully start and get rolling.
And people here giving back, I think I know you well enough to know that that's not signing a check and putting some zeros.
No, not at all. Like, I want to physically, like, be in there and make the change, see the change. Like, I want to talk to young kids, young athletes, you know, and tell them my stories, tell them, you know, the things that they should be hearing that they necessarily may not want to hear, like the real statistics of, you know, you making it to the league, the real statistics of, like, who you are outside of football and trying to figure that out first before you get sucked into this game. And then when you're done, you have nothing, like, you don't even know who you are. You know, there's real stuff that out there that I feel like gets missed in the spotlight of, like, oh, well, hey, I want to be like Tom Brady. But people don't want to do the work or go through the things, you know, talk to counselors and do the other things that Tom Brady went through when he wasn't the starter. Like, those are the down moments that people forget about. But, like, those are the real truths about this sport. You know, those are real truths about life. And that's not talked about. So, like, that's the stuff that I want to talk about as well.
Okay, one other thought here before I get to football, because I know people are going to want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting here visiting with you, you've got leadership and you've got political leadership, I believe. Am I right in that you could see yourself being involved in civic political process?
I could. I would. I have to give everything 100%.
Sure.
So if I do go down that realm, I'm going to make the difference that I could, like, the biggest difference I could possibly
make. You'd run for office.
Oh, 100%.
You would?
Yeah, 100%. But I would have to know that I'm going all in on that, you know, because once I go that route, I mean, there's going to be, I'm going to try to make the biggest change I can make, like I said.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
The Cardinals. So if you're going to look at this just competitively, walk the fan through Cliff Kingsbury's offense. You referred to it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
What is it about Cliff Kingsbury in this offense that you think you can do?
I think it's just the concept of knowing that it's a very fast-paced offense. It's not, it's non-huddling. Like, we're on the line 24/7, same thing I did in college. It's an aired-out type of offense. You know, we're going to run the ball, obviously. When you got Johnson back there, you got to run the ball.
But
it's, you know, a lot of people, when they think, I guess the best example is Patrick Mahomes in college. You know, that's Kingsbury's offense. And that is like the offense that is just nonstop, very, very fast paced, throwing the ball everywhere. Like, no matter, you're throwing it everywhere, and then you're running it to keep things balanced. Like, it's a very fast paced offense. It's one of, I think it's going to be a great fit for this team, especially with the weapons we have and the type of, you know, individuals we brought in, like Kevin White, for example. You know, it's going to be an awesome fit here, and I cannot wait to see it.
What has Cliff told you?
As far as
just you and what he expects, and
competing. I think that's the nature of the game. And you know, if any coach tells you any different, like, I don't know if I'm, you know, I don't know.
You've
if
heard it all probably by now.
And 100%. And you know, even, you know, as like I said, I've been a backup for 5 years. I've played 1 year, part of it. That starting mentality should never be lost. And I think a lot of the times, especially as, you know, when you get into the backup role, you a lot of people would start sort of just fitting into that role. Like, and that's one of the first things I'll tell them. Like, I'm not here to fit into that mindset. I'm not here to fit into that, like, job. I'm here to compete, push whoever you bring in. Like, I'm here to compete, try to win that starting job. And if I'm better, I want to play. You know, the best should play, and this is the National Football League, and they do. But, like, that is not my mindset, and that's what I always come in telling, you know, Seattle, telling, you know, Arizona what I got here, you know, and that's the same thing that Kingsbury is on the same page with.
Appreciate you coming in. Good stuff.
It's always good to be here with you.
How about that? There's Brett Hundley, and we're back with more after this timeout.
A big thank you to Brett Hundley for coming on into studio, talking about, you know, some stuff off the field. Is always a lot of fun with these football players, and, you know, some of them, especially the young ones, when you hit them with that question about, you know, maybe life after football or things that, you know, beyond football that you want to do, every now and again, they'll freak out going, man, I don't even want to think about life after football. And I don't blame them at all. But big thanks to Brett Hundley for joining the show and being in studio with Brad. Always a great pleasure to have these athletes in studio, especially ones that we've had here in the past, back in the day, of quite a few years ago. And, of course, a big thanks to Brad for calling in as well today, talking about the Hot Shots and talking about, you know, kind of run around the state. And I do want to finish rolling around the state of Arizona as the NBA and the NHL are very quickly heading towards the end of their season. You know, Yotes are 4 points out right now, and they only got 2 games left. And I mean, it was that loss against the Avalanche. I mean, in a shootout, 3-2 loss, I think that ends up hurting them a lot more than maybe we were expecting. And then the loss yesterday against the Kings really kind of put a nail in the coffin. But both teams have 2 games left, so it's not completely over. So the Yotes still have a chance at the end of the day. They play the Knights tomorrow, though. They have to win both the games against the Knights and the Jets, and the Avalanche have to lose both games, essentially. So, tough break for Arizona. I mean, especially a team that has more wins than Colorado. I think that they will at the end anyway. But, you know, maybe they get in, maybe they don't. We don't know yet. Looking at the Phoenix Suns, in case you didn't know, the West is actually already done. We're done in the Western Conference. All 8 teams have been selected. If you have been living under a rock, the Suns did not make that. They are by far the worst team in the Western Conference by, goodness gracious, quick math here, 13 games. 13 games behind the next team being the Dallas Mavericks, basically. So 4 games left. Jazz tonight, then the Pelicans, the Rockets, and the Mavericks. Let's say they go 1-3, maybe 2-2 in that. So playoffs, chances, we're done. I don't know, back in 2018 sometime. But then you also have the fact that while they are the worst team in the West by far, they are not by far the worst team in the NBA because, unfortunately, fans like to get hyped up about having the possibility of the number one pick. The Knicks are going to end worse than the Phoenix Suns. The Cavs might finish worse than the Phoenix Suns. So you know, maybe you get Zion, maybe you get Ja. Brad Sesmat wrote a great article on Sports 360 on that as well. So a quick little wrap around there, the state of Arizona. Be sure to be checking out Sports360AZ.com. Our intern Andrew Bell had a phenomenal article on a substitute teacher turned into the National Women's Hockey League hero in the championship game. Great story. Go check that out. Brad has more on the hot shots and also more around the state of Arizona. And there's so much more going on right now. Up on the website, the World of Outlaws Sprint Car Series coming to USA Raceway and Arizona Speedway. I'm talking to Carson Macedo, the young 22-year-old who is a full-time racer in the World of Outlaws Series. I'll be up on the website tomorrow. And also, still plenty more talk about the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray or Nick Boza, trade the pick. We don't know. We're not going to know, guys, until it's the day of. So, please. Stop. But tweet me at DevinHenry77 if you have a thought. Also at Brad Sesman. You can always follow everything that we're doing here on Sports360AZ.com at Sports360AZ. Per the usual, Candy Wilkerson, our chairwoman of the board, back behind the glass. She has a big day, man. Getting ready for opening day for the Diamondbacks, which she's going to have a lot of fun for the rest of the day, too. So thank you guys for watching here on Sports360AZ.com. Same time, same place tomorrow. Brad's back in studio. And hey, Goody at the Movies, my mom's favorite segment, will be back on the show as well. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. West of y'all Wednesday, guys. I'm Devin Henry. We'll see you next time.